Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed, "I found nirvana! I win!" They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Virginia. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Ready to soundtrack your summer? With Red Bull Summer All Day Play, you choose a playlist that fits your summer vibe the best. Are you a festival fanatic, a deep end DJ, a road dog, or a trail mixer? Just add a song to your chosen playlist and put your summer on track. Red Bull Summer All Day Play. Red Bull gives you wings. Visit redbull.com/brightsummerahead to learn more. See you this summer.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You know those friends who support your preference for podcasts over music on road trips? That's the energy State Farm brings to insurance. With over 19,000 local agents, they help you find the coverage that fits your needs, so you can spend less time worrying about insurance and more time enjoying the ride. Download the State Farm app or go online at statefarm.com. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
What's the reason, Duck? It's here.
With your hosts.
Love these guys.
Dan Wiederer.
The whole key to sustaining success in this league is to have quarterback play that is top tier and can consistently push you down those roads.
And Mark Grody.
We're allowed to, at this point, Bears fans are allowed to right now, dream big and predict what you want out of the season.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome into the Take the North podcast along with Dan Wiederer of The Athletic. I am Mark Grody of 104.3, The Score on the Raheem Harris and Grody Show. Dan, what's going on, man?
Not much. How you doing, Mark? Busy weekend at Hallis Hall, and now we're flipping the page to a little bit of a shortened quiet period here before the schedule comes out later this week.
Yeah, that's right, man. It was a two-day rookie minicamp. Dan took in both of the days. I got out there on Saturday, so I got my eyes on a bunch of rookies and tryout players as the Bears both days decided to practice indoors inside of the Walter Payton Center. So it was really good to see all those rookies, Thieneman, Jones, Roush, Thomas, Muhammad, Elliott, Vandenberg, and then a bunch of other rookies that you try to figure out who they are. There's some veteran players mixed in, one of whom we will talk about towards the end of this podcast because they signed a player based on what they saw inside the Walter Payton Center. But I thought that for this episode, one of the people that spoke on Saturday, a coach that we have been kind of eagerly anticipating and looking forward to hearing from is the Bears defensive coordinator, Dennis Allen. We have not heard from him, obviously, since last year. We never got to talk to him after the Rams game. We haven't gotten to talk to him about the draft. And so there are many topics that we wanted to talk to the Bears DC about. So I thought that we would start with Dennis Allen. And I thought it was apropos that you and I had the honor of small talking with Dennis Allen to get the coach warmed up as he approached the lectern inside of Hallis Hall. So I thought we would let our listeners kind of, Dan and I were the warm-up act. Take a listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. Yeah.
Good.
Excited to get an opportunity to be back in front of you guys again.
I felt genuine.
Oh, no. All good, man.
I did love the maniacal laugh out of Dennis Allen right there. And Dan, you could even fill it in Dennis Allen is an interesting character. Nice guy, professional, all of that kind of stuff. But one thing, he was difficult with us last year on dwelling on the previous week's game, even though we only get to talk to the DC once a week. So we're kind of required to ask about the previous game. So that's why the sort of snarky response at the beginning with Dennis Allen.
Let's play it one more time, just so you can hear that maniacal laugh one more time, which I think it tells you a lot about how eager Dennis was to talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
How are you doing?
I'm doing outstanding. Yeah.
Good.
Excited to get an opportunity to be back in front of you guys again.
I felt genuine. accent?
Oh, no. All good, man.
You make of that what you will. The laugh sold it all. It was the tell, right? Like, it was the tell.
It's so funny, man. I almost, because I happened to edit the tape, I was like, you know what? If I cut it off after the laugh, I thought about it, because I thought that just to let that sit with our audience for a second.
DA comes from the Sean Payton, you know, tree of dealing with the media, the John Fox. He was with John Fox in Denver for a little bit. Those guys are not exactly the warm, cuddly, let's tell you everything I have on my plate type when it comes to sharing information with the media. That said, I feel like everybody that was in that room on Saturday morning left that room feeling like that was the best Dennis Allen that we have ever gotten. I felt like maybe the offseason timing of the session was good. As you mentioned kind of in the outset, he's got a first round pick to play with in Dylan Thienemann. There's a lot of questions about the pass rush. We'll hear a little bit about all these topics, but I felt like DA was engaged. I felt like he was informative. I felt like he went to some depth that we weren't necessarily expecting on a few topics. And it really did feel like everybody got up from their chairs and walked back into the other room like, man, that was a pretty good session with DA. If only all of them could be similarly valuable.
Yeah, that was the reaction, exact reaction in the media room. And what I like about it in particular and in general is that neither he nor anybody on this coaching staff, defense or offense, is running from the fact that even though they had a lot of turnovers and a lot of big defensive plays last year, the defense wasn't very good last year. Getting to the quarterback, against the run, against the pass. I mean, you look at the numbers and they're all 20 and down for the Bears. So they just were not, in the traditional sense, a very good defense, and nobody is running from that. And so let's get into, for our audience, what made this so good. And that is maybe one of the most important questions to Dennis Allen. And that is what Ben Johnson has been doing. And he hasn't singled out Dennis Allen. Ben Johnson has been hard on his coaching staff, the same way he is hard, Ben Johnson, on himself, the same way he is hard and transparent about his players. So Ben Johnson has been consistent, but we hadn't had a chance to ask Dennis Allen about Ben Johnson challenging him, Dennis Allen. And this is some money stuff here that you guys should listen to right here. Here is Dennis Allen on Ben calling him out, so to speak.
This one, Ryan and Ben, about not drafting an edge. The message was that the staff has to coach better. How did you take that message, and what did you do with that message with your group?
Well, look, I mean, there's nothing that Ben said in here that he and I haven't talked about. You know, we've had all these discussions, and I think when you look at things, the first thing you have to look at is, okay, what could I have done better? And then what could we have, as a staff, have done better? And we had a lot of discussions, you know, this offseason about a lot of different things. And one of the things that we identified was, you know, me, we focused so much on installing all the scheme last year, you know, because it was brand new. And we do have a high volume of things that we carry in the defense. And we focused so much on that that we lost some of the – lost sight of some of the fundamentals and techniques that it takes to function, to do those things. And I don't think we were as fundamentally sound defensively as we need to be. So how do we have to coach it better? Well, let's minimize how much we're focused on the scheme, okay? And let's focus on not what we're going to do, but how we're going to do it. And I think that's how we're going to improve. And you know, you look across the board at all three levels of the defense. And I just feel like, you know, you go in and you watch it, and in some ways you're a little disappointed because it doesn't look exactly like you want it to look. But you're also really encouraged because if we can get better at those fundamentals and techniques on all three levels of our defense, how much can we really improve? And so I think that was a big part of what we do in the offseason. We'll have the same discussions next year, you know, and it's still going to come back to How can we coach it better? How can we teach it better? All right. How can we help our players reach their maximum potential? And I think anytime, if you look at it any differently, I just don't know how you're going to have a lot of success.
Dan, what do you think about that answer?
Well, first of all, I think we could go back through the entire library of Dennis Allen conversations from 2025 and not find an answer that is 2 minutes plus like that one was. And that carried some meat and some depth to it. And I think that there is an admission there from DA looking in the mirror that looked like they were so intent on getting the scheme installed and putting in all the volume that they want in their defense that maybe they weren't as sharp with the fundamentals and technique that they as they wanted to be. And so that seems to be a really firm talking point here in the spring, that they're going to be better at coaching it, that they're going to get the little things sort of polished up in a way that will position players for success. And this seems to be their formula for working around the, I don't want to say lack of talent, but the lack of additions to the roster in an area up front that they need to be better at with the pass rush. And so time will tell, you know, whether this methodology works. Time will tell whether they're able to squeeze the results out of that whole group up front that they're, you know, expressing optimism that they can squeeze the results out of. But I did think from a coaching perspective, it was a really valuable message there that marries up with what Ben's saying. It's like, look, we've got what we've got, and now we've got to coach what we've got to the best of our ability to get the best results. So good starting point for us to kind of know what's being asked and where it will take the Bears here in the near future.
I do like the thoughtful process by Dennis Allen and the admission of it. But I bet if we, again, like you said, if we went back and listened to Dennis Allen, we would also hear him talk a lot about fundamentals probably throughout it, because that's usually, I'm not saying he's not being genuine here, but to talk about fundamentals to me is always the fail safe. Like, that always sounds good. That never goes out of style, saying we got to get back to our fundamentals. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's it. And there is some truth to it. Dennis Allen was a first year defensive coordinator with the Bears in particular. So everybody, even the veterans on the Tremaine Edmondses of the team, the Jalen Johnsons of the team when he was playing, they were learning a new scheme. Yeah, it's a little bit surprising to think that the fundamentals weren't pounded a little bit more if that was the case. But I guess it's important to hear the admission, Dan, more than anything, and them understanding that something has got to change because they didn't add that extra guy. And we'll get into that a little bit here in a second as well. But there, something has got to change. Guys have to get better. And if it's fundamentals, I guess it's fundamentals.
Yeah, and I'll use this as an opportunity to give another round of applause to this coaching staff for their ability to be very candid in critiquing everything big picture-wise, but always starting with themselves first. You hear that from all these coaches, which then gives you, I think, a little bit more freedom if you're Ben Johnson, if you're Dennis Allen, if you're Dan Rashard, if you're Antoine Randall, whoever it is in that building, the opportunity to be a little bit more firm with the way that you publicly critique your players when you are publicly critiquing yourself first, you know. And I think that is something that resonates with players to some extent. And it does buy some buy-in, you know? And so that's something, at least an observation worth taking note of.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he's got to hold himself responsible. Dennis Allen has a boss, and that is Ben Johnson. So, you know, it all trickles down. They're all in this together, and every one of those players has heard and seen the comments that Dennis Allen made. So yeah, that definitely gives him some credibility. Why don't we move on to, we're going to get to Dennis Allen talking about Dylan Thienemann here in a second, because I know people are anxious to actually hear about the players. But
yeah,
let's hear first, though, from since the topic of edge rusher came up in that question, part of the genesis of it, that you know, in theory, on paper, have not improved your pass rush, have not improved your run defense. You're depending on guys getting better. Dennis Allen, who, of course, most people probably know him by now, that Dennis Allen did coach a veteran edge rusher by the name of Cam Jordan while in New Orleans. So it was logical to ask Dennis Allen about the available free agent edge rusher, Cam Jordan. Here's DA on that.
This one guy that you coached for a long time is Cam Jordan, who's available. What was your experience like coaching him? And is that someone you'd be interested in in working with again?
Yeah, look, I think my experience with him was outstanding. I mean, Cam's going to be a freaking, you know, Hall of Fame player, is a Hall of Fame player. And so I don't know that there's been a ton of discussion about that. I think we feel pretty good about, you know, where we're at and what we have. And yet, you never know what opportunities might present themselves at some point down the road.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Yeah, he kept the door open. I love when a coach or anybody throws a freaking in there. It's its own word, you know. I mean, I know it's one step away from the really bad word. It's daytime as we're recording, so I won't use the word. But yeah, Cam Jordan, 36 years old, 10 and a half sacks last year in New Orleans, and he is durable as hell.
No question. He's also up there in age, and the year before the 10 and a half sacks, what was it? 2.5. And so you gotta do the calculus on all this. I don't know. You know, look, like we always draw these lines between people that have played together, coached together, worked together, and just assume that everything was smooth. I don't know how harmonious that relationship was. I know there was one point when Dennis Allen was the head coach in New Orleans, and they scored a late touchdown in a rivalry game against the Falcons. That was a little bit of a rub it in touchdown, and DA later apologized to Raheem Morris, and Cam Jordan then was vocal and saying, "I would never apologize. That's, you know, the brotherhood in the locker room." All of that is to say that you don't know whether Dennis Allen is going to knocking on Ryan Poles' door and being like, do whatever you can to get this guy here. The other part of this, I think, is like that last little statement that he said, you never know what opportunities can come up the road. The thing we all have to remember is there will be things that happen unexpectedly, and you might have a guy on hold, right? Or speed dial, or on reserve, or whatever you want to call it, where it's like, okay, if we end up losing a player unexpectedly to an injury or something, could we call you up in the first week of October and have you come in and help us then? You know what I mean? And so I think that's where you don't slam that door shut. But you're also in the first part of DA there, you heard him say, I don't know that's really something that we've talked about a lot, which would indicate that they haven't talked about it a lot, given an opportunity where they could have talked about it a lot. Like everybody else has been talking about it for 2-3 months. And when the coordinator says that, given the connection to Cam Jordan, you don't feel like that's something that's really on their front burner at this point.
Yeah. I mean, there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of smoke out there right now in terms of the Bears potentially signing one of these free agent guys that's out there. I mean, it still could happen. And as somebody, I don't remember who it was I was talking to. Maybe it was you, Dan Weider, out at Hallis Hall. I was talking to another reporter and they're like, made a good point. Like, do you think any of these guys is going to sign, you know, pre-training camp and have to go through all the damn OTAs and all of this? This stuff is BS to player. I mean, for the most part, I mean, there's some guys that are out there that got to get in shape and love football that much that they love every single mini camp in OTA. But for the most part, this stuff is a pain in the ass for a lot of players. So
July, like mid-July, starts to feel like the time that these players want to start thinking about signing someplace, right? Like you've been in the league long enough, you say, yeah. Check back in with me when my summer's coming to a close or winding down a little bit. So that's certainly a factor. And I feel like there was a year a few years ago. What was the year that Michael Schofield came in, you know, a couple days before camp? I feel like there was another signing that year where it was like a couple bang bang late summer signings that the Bears had. But that's not uncommon for some of the vets that are looking for work.
Right. They know what they're doing and they're going to do it their way, because ultimately they like the money, but they don't need the money. That's the way it is for somebody like Cam Jordan at this point and other guys. And I have no idea if that's what's in his head right now or the Bears' head, but we'll stand by and see, because as we inevitably
always do, Dan. This is the point in the podcast where the listing of the players occurred again, the Dio Dangos of the world. And Dio's name kind of came up prominently with Dennis Allen in one of the questions, because it was, as it was pointed out in the question, Dio Dangbo was playing inside more previous to getting hurt. So he was, Dennis Allen was asked straight up, is he more going to play more inside or outside? And Dennis Allen was pretty ambiguous about the answer. He did say that Dio Dangbo will continue to have the opportunity to play on the outside, but we've said it a ton, man. I mean, from the very first podcast in the off season, that your defense is going to have to get better from within. And as of right now, here we are again. We continue to be at that exact point with Dio Dangbo being circled more than anybody on that defensive line for Dennis Allen.
Dio Dangbo, Shamar Turner, to a lesser extent, Austin right. Booker.
Yep. Sweat, you know.
Like, this is going to be interesting. You know, we'll get the schedule later this week. I think we teased that a time or two. We'll also get the preseason schedule, which usually gives us an inclination into who they might be doing crossover practices with. And so, you know, kind of those really intense days of August where things start to really ramp up. You really start to learn more about where guys are at physically, where they're at mentally, and how things are coming together. And so it is going to be a waiting game, you know, a 3-month waiting game for us on a lot of these questions. There's a lot of talk, but we can't really test the talk until we get into those stages of the preparation process. And so right now you take the words, you process the words at face value that the coaches are giving you, and then you just wait for your opportunity to test them, right? And to verify whether the optimism that the coaching staff has is justified, or whether it's just kind of this real hopeful tone that they're trying to strike. And so Dangbo is a huge part of that, you know, and I just like that there has never been a player, or has rarely been a player, that has gotten this much sort of praise from inside the building without sort of earning the trust of the outside world that it's going to come to fruition, right? I think you feel similarly, where it's like, okay, tell us all you want, but now at some point we all need to see it with our own eyes.
Yeah, I mean, even with the day the Bears signed him, I mean, we were all like, okay, we can all look at statistics and see the numbers for Dio Dangbo, and they don't pop off the page. So it is like deep tape watching evaluation when it comes to Dio Dangbo. And if you think you can get by on that, that's fine, but there clearly needs to be more, much more from Dio Dangbo, much more impact, and hopefully we'll see a healthy version of Dio Dangbo, and we'll see the version that the Bears have projected for him. One position about which there is little doubt on it looking pretty nice on paper right now is the safety position, with the signing of Kobe Bryant, and now Dylan Thienemann is in camp, and we got to get a good look at him. Dennis Allen also got to tell us what stood out to you about Dylan Thienemann out of Oregon that you guys wanted to draft this kid.
Biggest thing was he found his way around the ball a lot. And to be able to do that, you know, there has to be some intelligence about him, and there has to be some instincts about him. And I think that was the first thing. And you know, I think when you're looking at college safeties or safeties in general, it's a production position. And that production can come in a lot of different ways, whether it be, you know, tackles or interceptions or PBUs or any of those types of things. But safety's a position that you find your way around the ball. The best ones do, and I thought that showed up with him.
The remake of that room, what excites you about the combination of Dylan and Kobe, and what that allows you as a coordinator to
do? Yeah, I think their versatility, both of them, you know, I'm excited about. You know, both of them, you know, have the athletic ability to match up in coverage, and I think that's something that, you know, I'm excited about. I do think, you know, one of the things that we talked about, not just specifically with that position, but overall in general in terms of our defense, was, you know, we really needed to increase our team speed. And I felt like we were able to do that with several of the draft choices.
How did the switch from Purdue to Oregon? Because Ben talked about that going to Oregon put him in a position to succeed. Obviously, he becomes a first-round pick. What was it that they did that made him NFL ready?
Well, I don't know it was necessarily that. I just think, you know, I don't like say anything negative about any programs or anything like that, but
system,
just
though,
I think
something that was different.
You know, I think Dan Lanning runs a pretty, you know, complex system there at Oregon. They asked those guys to do a lot of different things. You saw him play, you know, as a down safety. You saw him play in the middle of the field. You saw him play kind of, call it like a rover type position. You know, so you just saw him do a lot of different things, which leads you to believe, you know, his ability to learn and his ability to process information and apply it on the field is really some of the things that we're looking for.
No one goes to Hank's for spreadsheets. They go for a darn good pizza. Lately, though, the shop's been quiet, so Hank decides to bring back the $1 slice. He asks Copilot in Microsoft Excel to look at his sales and costs and help him see if he can afford it. Copilot shows Hank where the money's going and which little extras make the dollar slice work. Now Hank has a line out the door. Hank makes the pizza. Copilot handles the spreadsheets. Learn more at m365copilot.com/work.
This is a unique set of safeties that the Bears have, because they're small guys. Like, these are not like your imposing enforcer type of safeties. They're cornerback size. Like, that's, you know, I got to put eyes on Dylan Thienemann for the first time, and that stands out. I think you're the one who said it. You nailed it. Like, he's small, but he is built like Dylan Thienemann, and he moves well. Like, you could just sometimes, as you said, I saw the same thing. You could just kind of see it. That with the versatility, it's all there, and I can't wait to see this in motion, exactly how he employs these two. We know what it is on paper. We know that Kobe Bryant is the free safety and that Dylan Thienemann will be the strong safety, but it's going to be interchangeable.
And DA did a good job last year of, you know, positioning those defensive backs to make plays. Al Harris is part of that as well. And you saw the results that Kevin Byard had on the back end. And so you've got a couple guys in Thienemann and Bryant who have ball production, one in college, obviously one in the pros. And you feel like you can utilize that as long as you can position them for success, that you should be able to keep the turnovers coming, the takeaways coming, right? Like, those guys should be ready for that. Dennis Allen also, you know, he talked, having this history of coaching really good safeties. It's a list that includes Kevin Byard, Tyrann Mathieu, Roman Harper, Darren Sharper, guys like that. And he said they all are very smart. Yeah, exactly. You know, there's a brain that processes information, makes good decisions, and all of a sudden you start to see the production come out. And that production, as he said in that clip there, can come in a lot of different ways. They clearly have a vision. You know, they wanted to get faster on defense. Those two guys, Bryant and Thienemann, helped them get faster on the back end of the defense. And they clearly, you know, this wasn't just like, oh, we'll grab a couple of random guys and hope that they mesh. There's a vision here on how they want to utilize those guys as part of the whole. And so now the next few months is about getting those guys to gel and play together and figure out what's there. I just, with Thienemann, I just, like, you feel good about what you're getting from day one, you know? And I do think, like, I think Ryan Poles said it after the draft, like, there's a lot of comparisons to Colson Loveland in terms of just like a guy that's just going to come in. He's got a really good feel for the game. He's going to give you everything he has to get himself ready as fast as possible. And then you just kind of let the development process take over. And so from stage one, you're just like, okay, like, this is it makes perfect sense. And it just feels safe, like, to take this guy and then to help him grow.
Yeah, and I love the way you said that it feels safe. What was in my head is that it is something similar, but I'll use the word, and it sounds weird to say, he seems fail-proof. You know what I mean? Like, there's no way, you know, obviously injury can derail anybody, but he's got the athletic skills, he's got the smarts, he's got, as Dennis Allen said, like, you turn on the tape and somehow he's always around the ball, which goes to his intelligence and his anticipation, all of the things that you need to be a good safety. So hopefully that will continue to line up.
This is going to be a hilarious clip to revisit in 2029 when they decline his fifth-year option.
Oh, fail
Brody
safe,
said
Brody.
He was fail-proof. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I, yeah,
really,
I'm
really
with
feels
you.
Feels like that, doesn't it, man? It really feels like that.
Yeah. You just feel like you're going to get steady production, and how fast it kind of elevates is going to be up to the Thieneman and the coaching staff, and the Bears will steer that in the right direction as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. A couple other things before we get out of here for this episode. While we're talking about Dennis Allen's defense, we mentioned the D-line and all that. The Bears did draft a defensive lineman in the sixth round. That would be Jordan Vandenberg. And Dennis Allen said that he, as he put it, quote, slipped through the cracks a bit. So finally, we have somebody saying that they got a player and they were lucky to get him in the sixth round, that he slipped through the other one of those guys, and that's fine. But he said, I thought it was interesting that Dennis Allen said that his D-line staff urged him to check out what they referred to as a 60-play cut-up, the highlights, of Jordan Vandenberg's work prior to drafting him. And apparently Dennis Allen was kind of wowed, and the scouts brought the tape to him, and they got him to look at it. So I guess bravo if he works out to the people underneath Dennis Allen for saying, hey, coach, watch this tape.
Yeah, and one of the things that he said is, look, like they kind of dive deeper into what Vandenberg can do rather than being worried about what he can't do. And on that, 60-play cut-up that they watched, they saw power, they saw athleticism, they saw effort, they saw toughness. You know, I got a chance to visit with Vandenberg in the Midway on Saturday, and you feel from the first second you start talking to him the eagerness. You know, like, yeah, he's really excited about this opportunity, really excited about kind of putting that pedal to the metal and really bringing out the best in himself. And so you understand that. And that kind of marries up with something else Dennis Allen emphasized on Saturday, which marries up with everything that Ben and Ryan were telling us going into and coming out of the draft, which is this DNA match that the Bears were looking for in this draft. And you were there when Dennis Allen said, look, like, we kind of steered away from prioritizing 40 time and height and weight and athletic testing and all those things that can sometimes be really intriguing in the draft process. And the thought process that DA said was, look, we have to make sure they're above the line athletically. We're not just going to take, you know, a hardworking guy that's got no NFL traits to him. But after that, you're looking for the smart, tough, highly competitive football players. And Vandenberg fits right into that, as do Thieneman and a bunch of the other draft picks that they had. And so, like, again, look, I said this coming out of draft weekend. We don't know whether this experiment is ultimately going to be the thing that propels the Bears to being a Super Bowl contender for 8 or 9 years. But what we do know is the Bears are very clear with their vision, and they didn't steer away from it during the draft. They went really hard after these culture matches, these guys that are smart, tough, highly competitive, and match that can meet the environment that we experienced Ben Johnson setting in 2025. Like, every day you walk in there, you're going to be, you know, subject to a lot of really intense demands, and you need guys that not only can hold up, but like walk in the building ready to be like, what you got for me, coach? Like, how hard you want to grind me?
The football character must bleed off the tape, is what he said. That's so funny, man, because I jotted this down sort of sloppily in my iPhone notes during the DA presser, what you were just talking about. And he said, yeah, as you paraphrased, he said there was a decrease in what's the 40 time, what's the height, what's the weight, what's the athletic movement skills. Dennis goes on to say, it really was, are they above the line athletically? And then let's watch the tape and let their football character bleed off the tape. So that's philosophically, you know what it feels like, Dan? It feels like year two of a brand new regime, where the message from year one to year two for Dennis Allen and for everybody, he's just a personification of it, has changed, right? You did, yeah. You put in the system last year. You didn't necessarily expect to even win last year, but you did. And now it's a completely new message with different phraseology, different players, different everything.
Feels like a bit of a crime scene at Hallis Hall with all that bleeding off the tape that's going on up there, right? Like, got to get that cleaned up. Got to get the cleaning crew rolling up there. But they
very violent.
They feel very good about the makeup of the team that they're going to bring to OTAs and then mini camp and then eventually training camp.
Yes, absolutely. And I should tell people, in our next episode of Take the North, and we certainly do hope that you're enjoying everything that we're saying in this episode, we're going to do a listen to this episode where you will get to hear more about these new players from the new offensive coordinator, Press Taylor, and we'll hear from Xavier Thomas and perhaps Malik Muhammad as well, so we can get to know some of those guys. But Dan, as we wrap this episode up, anything else from, I think we've pretty well covered Dennis Allen and the defense, and we'll get more into some of the specifics, like I said, in our next episode. But that's the new Dennis Allen. That's the new DA for 2026 so far, and add the maniacal laugh to that as well.
Two last footnotes here. I did ask Jordan Vandenberg when he learned to jump out of a pool. He said he was successful on his first try doing it. And I said, man, that must be nice. And he hasn't really tried. I said, pretty cool party trick. He said, yeah, but I haven't really done it a lot since. It was a hot trend at the time, but I think I can be a little bit smarter about the way I, mess around on the side. But man, wouldn't you like to be able to do that? Just be hanging out at a summer cookout or something and be like, hey, boop, and look at this. I just jumped out of a pool.
It just sounds impossible. I am picturing myself attempting to do that, and I see.
And I'm
myself
picturing you rupturing both quads.
We must get Jerron Gilbert on the show at some point in time. He was the last Bears draftee, a defensive end selected in the third round, that was known for jumping out of a pool. So didn't work out for him, but hopefully it'll work out for Jordan Vandenberg.
The other thing, just because you teased it early in the episode, Barrington's own Scotty Miller signed after getting a veteran tryout at rookie camp. And look, we don't know what that's going to turn into. For the time being, it's an opportunity to stick around and be a part of the rest of the spring and then into training camp as the Bears try to get numbers at the minimum in their receiving core to survive the spring and summer. But clearly a couple good plays Friday. I know you weren't there. The last passing play of Friday, Scotty Miller made a tremendous diving catch down the right sideline. There were a lot of moments throughout the weekend where you saw the quickness, right, and the ability to kind of use some savvy and quickness to get himself open and make some plays. And so, look, like I was told a long time ago, in this league, you're trying to get a foot in the door. And once you got a foot in the door, you want to get as far away from the exit as humanly possible. And that's the next step for Scotty Miller.
Yeah, he stood out on Saturday as well. I was like getting out my little roster sheet. I'm like, who's that? Oh, Scotty Miller, the veteran, 28-year-old. He played 13 games for Pittsburgh last year, 9 catches for 62 yards. So he wasn't a big part of what Pittsburgh is doing. I think his best was early in his career, at about a 500-yard
season. With Tommy Brady in Tampa.
Yeah, he won a Super Bowl. He's a Super Bowl champion. So That doesn't hurt. But yeah, Scotty Miller, local guy, and everybody else wants to know who stood out. Scotty Miller stood out over the weekend. I know everybody wants it to be one of the rookies and one of the guys that's drafted, but this is what it's all about, right,
man? Former youth teammate of Cole Kmet too. So there's some familiarity inside the building when he gets in, meshes in with the rest of the veterans here in the next stage.
Feels like everybody's connected to Cole Kmet, and if they're not now, then eventually they will be, because he's like the official locker room greeter, it feels like now. he makes everybody feel comfortable, including reporters, which is what we love about Cole Kmet. He's a good man. He really is. That's going to do it for today. And so for Dan Weider of The Athletic, you should read Dan in The Athletic, and if you're not subscribing, then you're missing a lot with The Athletic. For our executive producer, Adam Studzinski, I am Mark Grody of 104.3 The Score and the Raheemy Harrison Grody Show, saying thank you so much for watching and listening to the Take the North podcast.
Great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. Go Bears.